quite your breath.
There's no doubt the NRA is going to.
What were you? Did you have a bill?
The Minnesota, or the Senate Judiciary Committee, will come back to order. We were in recess. It's now at the appointed time. We have Senate House File 1829 before us. Representative, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the demotion. Thank you very much.
You know, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you are definitely outnumbered. There are three former House members in the room.
I know.
And so proceed with caution.
Your operative word is former. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House file number 1829 has passed the House and coming to you as a House bill on basically what it is. And I have three gentlemen here that can get into the testimony with regards to the bill, but it's a firearms exemption bill. Excuse me one second. Firearms exemption bill, basically what it does, it allows the county attorney to carry a weapon in the performance of their duty. I just got to give you a little bit of background. I don't want to waste a lot of your time with stories, but I do come from a background, as you know, law enforcement history, and my father was a sheriff up in Kitson County, and some years after his retirement and I'd left town, there was an incident in the Kitson County Court where they were trying a murderer up there, and this particular murderer had come back actually as a revenge out of prison. He came back from prison and went after the parents of the so-called informant, or the informant, or whatever you want to call him, and he was going to do a revenge thing, and he did that. He killed the mother and shot the father, and the father actually played dead on the floor, and the person actually sat down and had lunch right next to both the bodies, and unbeknownst to him, one was still alive. The bottom line is he was arrested and brought to trial. During that trial, all of a sudden, the individual jumped out of his chair and actually grabbed the prosecuting attorney by the neck, by the throat, and actually had him down on the floor at that time, where a good friend of mine, who still is a good friend of mine, was a deputy at that time and has since retired, actually had to pry his arm from the county attorney's throat, or he would have been seriously injured. He was not seriously injured, thank goodness, but I just like to tell that story because it isn't just those of us that used to wear a uniform and carry the weapon. It is those, and I know they refer to themselves, and quite frankly, they are the chief law enforcement officers of the county next to the sheriff, I always like to say. Of course, I make a clarification that the sheriff is, of course, the chief law enforcement officer, actually the enforcing officer. But nevertheless, these are the prosecuting attorneys are the folks that actually carry through with the charges, and a most recent incident that happened in northeastern Minnesota, where there was actually gunshots that were fired to the and shot. The county attorney was assaulted up there, several gunshot wounds, and these gentlemen can talk about it. We just thought it was a good opportunity to give the opportunity to these folks who are obviously a very important part to our judicial system that basically make a lot of decisions that anger a lot of the folks that are capable of doing the types of crimes that they're being prosecuted for, quite frankly. So it was brought to me, and quite frankly, it makes sense. I'll turn it over to a couple of testifiers. I have three, actually, that are here today. From the Blue Earth County, the county attorney and the assistant county attorney, as well as Rick Hodson, assistant Washington County attorney, who incidentally is, as you probably know, the attorney for the Minnesota State Sheriff's Association, but is also a prosecutor as well. So with that, Mr. Chair and members, I'll turn it over to the esteemed gentlemen that are here for some more testimony.
Welcome to the committee. Would you identify yourself for the record?
Thank you, Chairman, Senators. I'm Ross Arneson, Blue Earth County Attorney from Mankato, Minnesota. I'm here today because there's a state law in Minnesota that prohibits prosecutors, county attorneys, assistant county attorneys from carrying a firearm while on duty. That prohibition does not apply to public defenders. It doesn't apply to state employees. It doesn't apply to the private bar, attorneys in private practice. It doesn't apply to courthouse personnel, but it does apply to prosecuting attorneys. And we would like to have a very narrow bill that gives an exception to that prohibition. Now, this should not be confused with courtroom security. What I'm talking about is personal safety. In Blue Earth County, we're part of the 5th Judicial District. There's an administrative order from the chief judge that says, unless you're a licensed peace officer, not a law enforcement officer, maybe we could fall under that broad umbrella, but we're not licensed peace officers. Unless you're a licensed peace officer, you cannot carry a firearm in a courthouse complex unless you have permission from the sheriff or chief of police. That currently applies to everybody. It applies to the attorneys in private practice, court personnel, public defenders. That would still apply to us if this bill is passed. And we're not asking for an exception to those administrative orders that have been issued, I think, probably in all of the judicial districts. This would give me the authority to carry probably on commuting. If I wanted to carry into a courthouse complex, I'd have to get permission from the sheriff to do so. And maybe it'd allow me to stow a pistol in the sheriff's office or lock it up in a desk or something. I'm not anticipating this means that I'm going to be giving a closing argument, leaning over the jury panel, and you know the gun's going to pop out. A lot of people have that concern, and that's not what we're talking about. It's probably a fairly narrow area where county attorneys or assistant county attorneys would actually carry. Some people believe that prosecuting attorneys should carry all the time, like cops. Some people believe that nobody should carry unless they are a cop. And what I'm looking for is a narrow exception, for me personally, this is my personal viewpoint, that if I have a personal safety threat, that I could carry until that personal safety threat is over. An example would be if I get a call today that somebody I prosecuted in the past has been released from prison and has told people that he's coming to kill me, I would like the opportunity to carry until that threat is over with. And these aren't imaginary threats. Senator Ingebrigtsen just gave you one example. Some others, in 2004, shots were fired into the house of an assistant Beltrami County attorney. That defendant was later convicted of a second-degree assault. In 2008, the Morrison County attorney and the county board were held hostage by a gunman until law enforcement officers arrived and shot that gunman. December 15, 2011 is when the Cook County attorney was shot. January 24, 2012, a jury convicted a defendant of stalking the Todd County attorney. And I think just about every county attorney office can give you some story along those lines. This bill is not controversial. It's been addressed by our local media. In the Mankato Free Press newspaper, there's an editorial. I'll read you just a little bit of it. A guy who makes late-night deliveries can carry a handgun for protection while he goes about his work, assuming he has a legal permit and his boss doesn't mind. County prosecutors who try to send violent people to prison for a living can't carry a handgun anytime that they work on the clock. Considering there have been virtually no problems among average citizens who legally carry guns, despite predictions of blood flowing in the streets when the law passed 6 years ago, it's difficult to imagine any problems in allowing prosecutors to carry a gun for protection. And an editorial from the New Ulm Free Press, our neighboring county of Brown County, again, I'll just read a little bit of it. We have to agree with area county attorneys who have expressed their opinions in letters to the editor that they are citizens too and should have the rights other citizens have to carry guns. We think courtrooms and courthouses are no place for guns, and that stronger security measures should be taken to keep them out. But county attorneys should not be handicapped when it comes to their own safety. This bill is supported by the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, is voted in favor of by the Board of Directors. It passed the House Committee unanimously, and it would not cost the state anything. There's an assistant county attorney from our office, Chris Rovney, who is here to relate a personal experience that he has that helped motivate me to seek that this bill would be enacted.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Will you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the committee. My name is Chris Rovney, R-O-V as in Victor, N-E-Y. I'm an assistant Blue Earth County attorney, as Mr. Arneson talked about. And anecdotally, my testimony is largely anecdotal because I had an experience where someone actually put a contract out on my life that I was prosecuting. I was prosecuting him for a first-degree controlled substance crime. And during the course of the prosecution, he was released on bail. And he somehow made it over to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And at that point, he started to conspire with another individual to kill me, kill the judge in the case, and to kill the head of the drug task force. Thankfully, the person that he was talking to was an informant for the Green Bay Police Department, so that was able to be stopped. But when we heard about it, we obviously didn't know who else he had talked to, who else he had perhaps conspired with to do myself harm, the judge, and the police officer harm as it related to his desire to have us killed. When we heard about it, I actually had one of the captain of detectives in Blue Earth County come up to me and says, you need to carry a gun to protect yourself because you don't know, until this all gets settled, you don't know what your exposure is. And unbeknownst to me, and frankly I found out later, that was not possible because I could not carry it while I was on duty. And at the time, our courthouse complex was away from our office, so I actually had to walk outside in order to go to court. And I would not, I would be exposed during that time. Anytime I was coming from my home to the courthouse to work, frankly, as a prosecutor, I'm really on duty 24/7 because it's not unusual for me to get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning from the police saying, hey, we have a situation, you know, what should we do? And if we follow the letter of the law, and as county attorneys, we want to follow the law, I would literally have to take off my gun, set it on the table, answer the phone call, hang up the phone, and then I could put my gun back on. If I followed the letter of law, I would have to do that. Obviously, that's an absurd result. But this is such a narrow exception to the law, and it basically all it asks is that we have parity with just about every other citizen in the state of Minnesota. Especially important for people in law enforcement, county attorneys, obviously, because we are putting ourselves in situations that are more dangerous than the average citizen. Yet the average citizen is able to take just that simple step of carrying a firearm if they choose to do so. And we're not allowed that opportunity. And we're not asking for any expansion of rights. We would still have to, you know, get a conceal and carry permit, have to get approved by the sheriff. We would have to follow all the other rules and regulations as it pertains to carrying a handgun that any other citizen will have to do, and we're not asking for an expansion of the ability to do that, just parity with the other citizens of the state of Minnesota. And that's all this bill really does. It's a bill to establish parity for prosecutors with the other citizens in Minnesota. I can't stress that enough. We're not asking for any more right than anyone else has, and that's the limit.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr.
Arneson,
thanks. Is what you're telling me that as a public attorney, you can't carry a gun?
There's a statute, and it's in the post statute, 626.84, subdivision 2, and it says, no individual employed or acting as an agent of a political subdivision shall be authorized to carry a firearm when on duty, unless the person has been licensed under, basically unless they're a licensed peace officer. I am an employee of Blue Earth County, a political subdivision of the state of Minnesota. I cannot carry a firearm while on duty.
Mr. Chair.
Sarah Hall.
And can you tell me why that was put in there?
I can actually tell the history of that. My name is Richard Hodgson, and I'm the institutional memory of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, as well as their lawyer for 25 years. That bill was put in 19, that legislation language was put in 1978, 1979, when Minnesota first had a post board. And at the time, We were one of the first states with a post board, and you got to be a police officer by being hired and say, go do your thing. Andy Mayberry on steroids. We changed over to licensing, and in order to enhance the professionalism of law enforcement, the legislature, and to reduce the number of literally, there were statutes that said if you were a person who worked at a wayside rest picking up trash, you were a peace officer. And so to reduce that, bring that in, and require training, licensing, professionalism, the legislature adopted that piece of legislation. Had not really thought about its implications for people who do what the three of us do for a living. And over time, we could sit here and spend far more time than anybody at this committee wants to hear anecdotes. The president of our state association right now, somebody's doing 10 years in prison for trying to blow him up with a bomb. And these are not problems that are happening in our courthouses that this bill is about. This is about personal safety, as indicated, getting to and from work. And so that's where that comes from, Senator. That's the history.
Thank you.
Right.
I guess I'll have to wait to hear the opposition to this. I'm not getting why we...
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak? Oh, I'm sorry. We do have others that want to speak on behalf or opposed to the bill. Senator Newman, would you want to hold your question until...
Mr. Chairman. Point of fact, Senator Hall asked both of the questions I wanted to ask.
All right. Is Heather Martins here? Oh, please approach the table. Mr. Hodsden, did you have other testimony that you wanted to give?
No, only that I'm available for questions at two other points. 40% of all the prosecutor's offices in the United States, according to national data, show that their prosecutors have been attacked, assaulted, threatened with physical harm. So this is
40%?
40%, according to the federal government. And then the second point I want to make, in case there's a concern about how law enforcement feels, As Senator indicated, I have been for 25 years also the State Sheriff's Association Council, and I'm authorized to speak on their behalf. They have formally endorsed this legislation. They support what it seeks to do. They don't perceive it has any impact on courthouse security because it doesn't apply to courthouses, courtrooms.
Thank you, Mr. Hodsden.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Question, Mr. Hodsden.
Mr. Hodsden, there's a question for you.
Sir, could you please
clarify
for whom you are speaking today?
I'm wearing two hats today. I'm speaking on behalf of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association to convey the message they support the bill. I'm also speaking as an assistant Washington County attorney on behalf of my boss, County Attorney Peter Orpin.
And Mr. Orpin has specifically authorized you to speak on his behalf today?
He absolutely has, yes. And he supports this bill fully.
Thank you. And is there some kind of resolution, formal action by the Sheriff's Association authorizing you to speak on his behalf today?
They did, yes, and they also, I believe they've, and I know at the in the House of Representatives, in the Representative Committee, they actually submitted a letter to the committee, and I don't know if another copy of that made its way to this committee or not. I'd have to defer to, I know it was supposed to get there, but they had a board meeting today.
It's in our packets, Senator Latz. Ms. Martins, I'm sorry for the disjointed introduction to you. Gentlemen, could we keep, gentlemen, if you need to have a discussion, please leave the room. This is a very tiny room, and any discussion takes away from the attention of our guest. Ms. Martins, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Heather Martins, and I'm Executive Director at Protect Minnesota, working to end gun violence. We represent, thank you for letting me speak today. We represent a network of 7,000 supporters of public safety policies that support reduction and ending of gun violence. And we have, I think one of the reasons we're here today is to express the importance of remembering that that putting more guns in more places is not a policy that we recommend as a comprehensive public safety policy. We fully support making sure that officers of the court are safe, and we fully support having better safety and security measures, especially in the courthouses. And I would like to say a couple things about that, in that it's important to remember that having a gun on one's person is not the same as being safe, and I'd like to bring up the case that James Davis, the city council member in New York City who was killed in city council chambers by a gun, was killed while carrying a legal concealed handgun. And I think it's important to note that the degree of safety conferred by carrying a concealed handgun is often far overstated, and that having a gun in the home, you are 22 times more likely to have that gun used against someone in your household than to be actually used in a defensive manner. So that said, and to also clarify that the concealed carry law has not resulted in the promise that was originally given to us when that bill was passed, the general public safety has not been improved by putting more guns in more places. And in fact, 822 people have been convicted of crimes who are Minnesota concealed carry permit holders. That includes two murders, numerous domestic assault, and sexual assault, and various other serious crimes. The nationwide, 391 people have been murdered by concealed carry permit holders, including 11 police officers. So I just want to make it clear that there is quite a bit of disagreement over how much safety is actually conferred by having more people carry concealed weapons. That said, in a courtroom, and this is something we've discussed at length also the other at the House committee level, I think there is general agreement, it wasn't clear at the beginning, that the intent of this bill is not to put guns in the hands of people in courtrooms except for the bailiff. I think it's important to have the record show that that is the intent of this bill, and to note that putting a gun in the hands of somebody who is not a trained law enforcement individual does present the risk of having a gun taken away from that person by a defendant and used against someone, as happened a couple weeks ago in Washington State. So we contend that the best way to prevent a dangerous person from committing an act of violence against an officer of the court is to make sure that person cannot get a gun in the first place. That's why we recommend having better background checks so that the completely unregulated secondary market for guns actually is used, becomes regulated, and keeps guns out of the hands of criminals, like a convicted felon. Given that we don't have that, and that's a different issue, I will move to the main point that we are concerned about with this bill, which is that it puts an apparent contradiction into statute, where unlike other concealed carry permit holders, prosecutors typically are on duty in the courtroom. If it says they can carry a gun while they're on duty, but the intent is not for them to carry it in the courtroom, it should be clear, in our opinion, that the bills say that. And that is our main concern here, because when you're dealing with a gun issue, you often will find that a gun issue is more likely to attract a lawsuit than another kind of issue. So that's why I would like to call special attention to that issue today. And that is our main concern, that bringing guns into courthouses is bad public policy, and we don't want to open the door to that.
Thank you, Ms. Mertens. Is Myrna Anderson in the room?
She couldn't come back at 5.
All right.
But she was going to express similar concerns about opening the door to guns in courthouses and clarity in the statute.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Martins. Mr. Backus, in this proposal, there seems to be a little confusion now on courthouse activity, how it relates to this particular bill. Could you clarify for us, because there's existing law in our statutes about guns in courtrooms versus a county attorney's carrying guns, and I was wondering if you might be able to clarify that for us.
Mr. Chairman, there is a provision in 609.66 which deals with carrying dangerous weapons in courtrooms, and basically if you're carrying a pistol according to the terms of a permit, you would have to notify the sheriff that you intend to do so. However, that's just one part of the story. My understanding is that, I don't know if it's every judicial district in the state, but certainly the Fifth and other ones have judicial prohibitions. I think courts acting on their own inherent authority have said that you can't carry in courtrooms based on a permit, and there might be exceptions for law enforcement or something like that. So I think, you know, that would still apply. There's nothing in this that would supersede that.
All right. Senator Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a parenthetic comment, and then I'm going to try and get Senator Harrington to weigh in on this. The testifier mentioned this bill puts a contradiction in statute, and the way I'm looking at this, we've already got a contradiction in statute. Sounds to me like everybody with a lawful permit has a right to carry except a county attorney when he's on duty, and that to me is really a contradiction in terms. But we've had Senator Engelbretson weigh in on this because it really does fall into his bailiwick, and I'm just wondering, Senator Harrington, if you'd like to share with us, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but can you share with us what your thoughts would be on this, you know, given the fact that this topic really does fall into your area of expertise?
Senator Harrington?
Chair, Senator Newman. My experience with this is it comes in several different facets. For most of my career, courts allow police officers to come into the courthouse with firearms, and there was no issue. Within the last 10 years, that has changed as security measures at county and other municipal and certainly at federal courthouses has been ramped up. Starting about a decade ago, when I showed up at court, I was expected to surrender my firearm to either a U.S. Marshal or other bailiff for secure handling while I was in the courthouse to testify. So I was allowed to carry my firearm up to the doorway, but not to actually enter the courtrooms with my firearm at all. And that procedure has seemed to work fairly well in terms of in my experience there. The other part of my experience with this is with working with county attorneys and city attorneys who have been threatened and stalked and harassed by individuals who did not like their prosecutorial direction. And I've had colleagues who have ended up with dead animals left on their doorsteps, who've had threatening phone calls, who've had horrible things written on the fronts of their houses, on their cars. And during that time frame, they were, I think, very logically very afraid. Police tried to provide what security we could, but in many cases, those individuals took to carrying a firearm for their own personal protection under the law. And I wasn't aware that there was a prohibition from them carrying it on duty, per se. So my experience with this tells me that we can have reasonable regulations of how people carry firearms to the courthouse that allows officers of the court, judges, county attorneys, police officers to carry up until that threshold. But I do believe that we do need to allow for the judicial discretion that says at the courthouse door that judges do have the right to say that is a point beyond which firearms are not welcome. And I don't think there's been great issues with that so far in my experience. So I am in general supportive of this with the caveat that I think we do have to recognize that the judges do have the right to set limits for their courtrooms in itself.
Senator Hall, did you have a question?
Okay.
All right. Is there further discussion, Senator Orton?
Thank you, Senator. Your question has already answered, forgive me, but when a prosecutor is carrying a firearm and wants to go into a jail, say there's a potential witness, something like that, they have to use the gun at the generally the practice now is that no one takes a gun into the jail. I just want to make sure that that would be true with this bill as well.
Thering Britson.
Certainly that's the case. That's, you know, probably more restrictive policy, if you will. Even law enforcement officers carrying guns would have to check them in at the door, whether they have a steel locker situation. But obviously, certainly the prosecuting attorney as well as the defense attorney, if they were carrying, would have to leave their guns at the door.
The proposed
Mr. Arneson.
Sorry, the proposed bill wouldn't give us any more rights than what public defenders and private attorneys currently have. And if you don't have a problem with them carrying guns into lockup situations, I don't think you're going to have a problem with prosecutors. Statute 609.66 provides that if you carry a firearm into a courthouse, that's a felony unless you have a permit and advise the sheriff that you're going to do it. Again, I think just about every district has an administrative order from the chief judge that goes beyond that, that also states that you cannot carry into a courthouse complex unless you're a licensed peace officer or have permission from the sheriff or chief of police. And if you want to codify that, if you want to put that in your statutes, I think the place to do it is in 609.66, not into this narrow exception that's going to be in the county attorney chapter of the Minnesota statutes.
Senator Britson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And to a little bit off of Senator Harrington's comments as well, I remember the day as well when we could not bring a uniform officer going to juvenile court. Our juvenile judge that back then said, you will not wear a gun. It was too intimidating. It was too... I guess you could limit it to that. It was too intimidating for the youngster to see somebody in court that was testifying against him that actually had a gun. I mean, those were concerns that were happening years ago. The world has changed since then, believe me. Those same offenders that we're talking about now, and the senator can certainly talk about the gang situation. These kids now are being dealt with law enforcement, kids as well as adults, but specifically kids with regards to that. Real serious offenders are being dealt with on the street with officers that have guns on them. So for them to have to take those guns off in court, I mean, we've come a long ways. We really have, and I agree that I don't think in a real perfect world, we don't want guns in the court. There's just no question about that. But when we're talking about Ms. Martin's issues with regards to putting more guns out there, it's different when you're talking about the people that this bill addresses. These people are very public. I see county attorneys being questioned on the front step of the courthouse or wherever it may be about a case that's going on. They're just as much the reason that criminal is going to be locked up potentially as the guy in uniform or the gal in uniform. And so it is a different world, and they should have that right. Now, having said that, if the county attorney in Cook County would have had the opportunity to be armed, he might have been able to defend himself. Luckily, he had an assistant there that physically helped to unarm this person, but he was shot, I want to say, at least three times and wasn't able to do a thing about that. So these things are, it just seems like they're happening more and more often. So there was a time, too, and I talked to the Senate Council about this, about offering this up for everybody in county government or city government. And at one time, I was very concerned about adult probation officers going out there. They're out there on the street, and part of their charge is to go out and deal with released felons. And these particular felons might have been convicted of very, very serious crimes, and we're sending them out there with little or no protection. And I brought that to the Department of Corrections one of my first years here, and that felt really, you know, fell on deaf ears. But I was still very concerned about them going out without that police protection, without that escort. And in a lot of cases, they're required to knock on the door, and they're dealing with potentially some very serious offenders here. And uh, But I think this is very straightforward, very, very clear to me that this is a, again, a, you know, a group of people that, that are obviously being targeted by the testimony here. I've had my house on a hit list. And the county attorneys are talking about they've had their house and their premise assaulted as well. So I think this is a very, very reasonable bill.
Is there any other questions? Senator Harrington?
Yes, Chair. I'd like to offer an amendment.
Right. Offer the H2 amendment. Could someone pass the amendment out? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
For the amendment, we've had some discussion, as you noticed, in the back room with Senator Harrington and the county attorney. I'd like to have comments from the county attorney with regards to the A2 amendment.
I don't know if our mic is still on.
Chairman, do you want me to proceed, or
let's just wait to see if our tape is still running? Yeah, just in time. It's on. All right. Let's get back to order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
See, the lights turn off, and everybody goes nuts. So, Sarah Ingebrigtsen, you were wanting to bring other witnesses to the table in response to Senator Harrington's amendment.
Mr. Arneson could make some comments with regards to the how he feels this amendment applies to this particular statute or not.
Sure. Mr. Arneson.
Thank you, Chairman. As a county attorney, I generally try to follow the law. Maybe I'll go 56 miles an hour sometimes. But since there's a statute that prohibits me from carrying on duty, I don't carry on duty. I don't think I would anyway. But I don't carry while off duty. But this statute would simply give me, again, the same authority that public defenders and the private bar and court administration personnel have now. No more, no less. So it doesn't have any effect on judicial authority to issue administrative orders that further restrict ability to carry in a courthouse complex. Now, if you want to recognize that judicial authority, again, I think the place to do it is in 609.66 so that everybody knows about it. Because most of the permit holders in this state, they read that statute. And that's what's taught to them when they take their classes. And they may not be educated about administrative orders that could be issued in the various districts. So if you want broad application recognition of that judicial authority, I don't think this is the place to do it in a very narrow statute that's going to go into the county attorney's chapter. I think you want to do it in 609.66. One other thought, just more philosophical, regarding the ability to carry in a courthouse. When I go into the courthouse, again, I don't carry a gun. If this law gets passed, I don't plan to carry a gun. If there was an exception where I felt a personal safety threat, I'd probably talk it over with the sheriff to come up with a practical solution as to how to deal with that, over the short term until the threat has expired. But in the courthouse complex that I work in, there are no metal detectors. So I'm not going to carry a gun into the courtroom, but that doesn't mean anybody else can't. So from a practical standpoint, I think you have other things to worry about more so than recognizing those judicial administrative orders. And also you have the concern about areas outside of the courthouse. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, on March 7th, a sheriff's deputy and two people were wounded by an exchange of gunfire outside the courthouse complex in Tulsa. So even those administrative orders, again, the people who obey the law obey those administrative orders. The people who obey the law are the ones that get the permits that they want to carry It's not those people that typically you have to worry about. But again, if you want to recognize that judicial administrative order authority, the place to do it is in 609.66 that already has a statute that addresses carrying a firearm into a courthouse complex.
Thank you, Senator Ortman. Senator Ortman, I have a question about that. You know, we who live in Hennepin County or work there, we have it's a pretty big building. Complex is probably the appropriate term. I can think of some small rural counties in Minnesota where the courthouse is kind of a 100-year-old building. It's kind of the pride of the farmers back then. And it's been rebuilt maybe a couple times, but in the same concept of your amendment, the courthouse has become kind of a government center as well in those places. So would that apply to the entire courthouse, or are you thinking of the courtroom?
Mr. Chair, I do know that the court complex or the government complex in Hennepin County is much more than just the courthouse, because you've got the administrative tower, you've got City Hall, but the court has subject matter jurisdiction over the courthouse portion, and that's where I think it makes sense to draw a line here. They can manage the courthouse. They don't have really the authority to manage everything else, and so that's why I take the word complex and prefer to take it out for that very reason.
All right. Larry Hubertson.
Mr. Chair, I don't have any comments with regards to the oral amendment. I do about the amendment as a whole. I would like to ask Mr. Backus how restrictive this becomes to the bill, and if it does, then I would say that, you know, we're talking about officers of the court here. They're officers of the court as well as public defenders, as they've testified, and I don't think we should be any more restrictive to them than anybody else.
Before we get too far afield, I believe Senator Ortman made a motion to amend the amendment. Senator Ortman, is there further discussion regarding her amendment? Senator Newman.
A question for Senator Ortman. In the rural courthouses that I would go into that had security, metal detectors, etc., that security was when you first walked in the door. It wasn't necessarily by the court. And in that area would be the county auditor and the assessor, etc. I'm just not sure that what you are proposing would work in the rural areas, because I believe that the metal detectors and the security are occurring in rural courthouses by reason of court order. And if I understand your amendment, that would maybe not work. So I have a question.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to do the exact same thing, which is to maintain the court's current authority to issue a court order over the premises by which they currently exercise that authority, and not change it or expand it with the word complex. I'm trying to keep it to what they currently issue orders regarding. I know that they do that about guns in courthouses currently, with that use of that word.
Senator Ortman, I'm going to ask counsel to give us a reference to how we've handled this before in statute. Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair, members, I've not been able to really research this, but I did draft the amendment at the request of Ms. Martins initially, and I think the term courthouse complex, you'll see it does appear in statute in at least one other place, which is probably where we got the language from, and it's in 609.66. where it makes it a felony to possess a dangerous weapon in a courthouse complex unless under certain circumstances. An exception is if you have a permit to carry and you notify the sheriff. So that's where courthouse complex comes from. I don't know if it's used in other places, and I don't think it's defined. It may be defined in case law, but I don't have a definition handy.
Senator Marty, then Lance.
Mr. Chairman, on Senator Newman's comments for Senator Ortman, I think I agree with what Senator Newman is saying, and Senator Ortman, to your concern, this isn't changing what the judges have authority over now. This is simply saying nothing in this little provision would limit the authority of the courts to prohibit them. In other words, if the court can do it in the whole complex or just the courtroom or whatever, they have authority. But this isn't, whether the word complex is in there or not, this wouldn't be changing what the courts have the authority to do now. Because this is this is not changing it. It's not limiting it. It's not expanding it either.
Senator Ortman.
Chair, I guess in my argument is that I don't believe that the judges have the authority outside of the courthouse. But if they currently have it as it's defined under law, I'm not going to argue with that. And I'll withdraw the amendment, but I don't think that they have any authority outside the courthouse itself to prohibit guns in the premises. I don't believe that they do. But I will defer to Senator Newman and
Senator Ortman, on that question, I'm going to ask Mr. Backus to give a definition of or lay out the authority of the court, separation of powers, and give us a little review.
Mr. Chair, that wasn't the idea when I was calling it. I just want to clarify that, though. In terms of the inherent authority, now that's not something I've really looked into. I know that courts have asserted that. I've not looked at any of the orders, how broad it is. I would think that those orders are probably more narrow. You know, I would think it'd probably be more narrowly tailored to courtrooms, facilities that they have control over. I don't know, maybe in Hennepin County, how broad that goes. Does it go the entire government center? I doubt it. So I mean, when I said courthouse complex, and I was referring to statute, it was the statute making it a felony to possess dangerous weapons, which I think is different from the inherent authority of courts that they've asserted to limit weapons. And maybe one of the witnesses can testify in maybe the Fifth District or whatever what they've done there.
Mr. Backus, the courts are a third branch of government. Couldn't they just override anything we write into statute anyway?
Mr. Chair, I mean, I think, you know, again, I have heard today that perhaps one of the courts up there couched its authority in its inherent authority and maybe in a statute. I've not seen these orders, but I think they are asserting that as a separate branch of government, they have the inherent authority essentially to function as its own body and to regulate the courtrooms. Yes.
I know Senator Newman and I have often late-night discussions about the authority of the judiciary and
we're boring, and
how we can undermine them. Senator Latz first, and then Senator, or is this on this point?
It's on this point.
All right. Please. Go ahead.
I confused everybody with my question to Senator Ortman, and I apologize. I believe her amendment is correct. In taking out the word complex, and I say that because in some areas there are, for instance, Health and Human Services, which would be part of the courthouse complex, housed in a completely separate building, but on the footprint of the lot where the courthouse is. That's what I was trying to get at. So I think that eliminating the word complex is appropriate. And let the judges simply continue to use whatever they deem is necessary to protect the courthouse. Am I clear this time?
Chairman,
I support Senator Ortman's oral amendment.
Now, the withdrawn Senator Ortman. I knew I was going to do that. Mr. Arneson.
Thank you, Chairman. The phrase courthouse complex is used in statute 609.66, and the phrase courthouse complex is used in the administrative order from the 5th Judicial District. And the judges in the 5th Judicial District, this one was issued by Judge George Harrelson, March 26th of 2008. At the time, he was the chief judge of the 5th Judicial District. And he says the order is based upon the inherent judicial authority of the court, Minnesota Constitution, Article 1, Sub 8, Article 3, Sub 1, Article 6, Sub 1. The authority is additionally supported by the duty imposed upon the judge and court personnel to maintain order under Minnesota Rules of General Practice for the District Court, Rule 2.029E and F, and by the authority granted by Minnesota Statute 624.72. And then he goes on and does have a definition of courthouse complex. Again, the statute, 609.66, that's what most people are going to read. If you amend the statute or, you know, the bill that's before you, we're going to be the only ones that know about it. You know, that you have a statute recognizing judicial authority to further restrict guns in the courthouse. I think if you want to do that, if you want a statute that recognizes that judicial authority that the judges say is inherent both under the rules and under the Constitution, Minnesota Constitution, under the statute, the place to do that is in the 609.66, not in this bill.
Any further discussion? Senator Latz.
I hate to prolong this discussion any further. It seems like sometimes we have an evening meeting and there isn't time pressure and the space is filled by its own inertia. But I'm trying to picture the different courthouses, at least in the metro area, and the ones that have security set up, or that might have security set up. And in Ridgedale and in Brookdale, there's no security. Mm-hmm. It's all one building, but separated areas for the courtrooms and library and the service center. In Ridgedale, it's a similar situation. In Southdale, it's tougher, which is why they're thinking about closing the Southdale branch. Downtown, the security is to get in either the A Tower or the Forest Tower, but that's because they got bridges as well as, you know, the county board that needs that. But other courthouses, they've got, you know, security at the entrance to the building, no matter what's inside the building. So I'm a little bit concerned, you know, that this might be perceived as trying to get our arms around the court's inherent authority on this, and we're going to run into issues of what does the statute do with regard to the order in the 5th District, or what potential orders might come out of the 4th District. I'm a little nervous even about wading into the courthouse versus courthouse complex. Why don't we just say something like the inherent authority of the court with regard to the prohibition of firearms or ammunition, and let them continue to define courthouse or courthouse complex as they will.
Sir Marty?
Mr. Chairman, I kind of think regardless of how we define courthouse or courthouse complex, you know, as I think they're going to define it the way they want to define it. I don't think this is going to change it. I'm not sure that the oral amendment changes the substance of it significantly. I don't. It seems to me that whether we call it a courthouse or a courthouse complex, they're going to, the judges may have differing opinions on what that means, but I have a feeling they're going to do it. I don't think the amendment matters one way or another.
Sir Marty, you and I have served off and on in the judiciary for quite a few years. And you remember the early patriarchs of the Judiciary Committee who were attorneys, and they would argue way into the night about just the subtlest of nuance in a sentence and grammar. And this is beginning to remind me of that.
Mr. Chairman, I remember one time when Dean Merriam and Randy Peterson were having a debate on the uniform rule against perpetuities at about 2 in the morning. And back then, the witness table had the lectern type of thing where you'd stand up there and the witness was going like this, and somebody said, "Mr. Chairman, is the witness sleeping?" And the guy had fallen asleep during this debate. And it's not quite 2 in the morning yet, so we probably aren't. 5 hours now.
History is in danger of repeating itself. Senator Ortman, is there any further discussion?
I want to say one thing.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are we on the amendment then?
We're on the amendment to the amendment.
Amendment to the amendment. Have we heard from Ms. Ortman what she thinks about this? Has Heather, has Ms. Barnes?
On the amendment to the amendment.
Amendment to the amendment.
I'm just going to call a question.
Yeah, let's call a question, and I want to know what's
Senator Ortman renews her motion to amend the amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen, we've kind of lost you in the process as the author of, are you in favor of the amendment to the amendment?
No, I'm certainly not opposing that, but I am opposing the amendment.
All right. Senator Ortman renews her motion that to amend the A2 amendment with an oral amendment to strike the word complex from line 1.3. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. We have the A2 amendment as amended before us. Senator McGuire, did you want to speak to the amendment now?
Oh, I was wondering if Ms. Martin wanted to comment on the amendment and what she thinks that helps with some of her concerns.
Ms. Martin?
The amendment, the A2 amendment that's being offered now with the new wording, we would support doing that just because it is not clear from the way this is written that the intent is not to force judges to allow guns in the courtroom, and if that's the intent, that it should state that explicitly.
Ms. Martins, due to separation of powers, I don't think the legislature can really tell the courts what to do anyway. And we can't tell them what...
We try. Can I respond to that?
But nevertheless, thank you for your comment.
Would you like to respond to that?
Could I respond to that?
Yes, please.
I guess I would just want to bring up, again, the possibility that when there is a contradiction that seems quite clear here, and that prosecutors are on duty in courtrooms quite a lot of their time, that the possibility of a lawsuit being filed because of this is a higher likelihood than it may be with another issue. And that would also be a reason to make it clear.
All right.
Abundantly clear.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the A2 amendment? Mr. Arneson.
Thank you, Chairman. If an individual violates the administrative order, if they bring a gun into a courthouse or a courthouse complex and they don't have permission from the sheriff or chief of police, as the administrative order in our district requires, I think that this amendment is going to make it more puzzling for a prosecutor to know what authority the judges have. Now, the judges have staked out courthouse complexes, and now you're recognizing something smaller, just courthouses, and who's going to be making the charging decisions? It's not judges. It's going to be prosecuting attorneys. And this amendment would make my authority to charge out and enforce the administrative order more puzzling. It's going to make it fuzzier, not clearer. And again, I think if you want to address this issue, you want to do it in 609.66 so everyone knows about it, not in the county attorney chapter. It doesn't make much sense to me.
And we would support that, actually, putting it in 609.66, but at which you can do as a part of this bill, if you wish.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm glad that we finally come to a resolve that this belongs someplace, but it doesn't belong here. We've lost sight of what we're talking about here. We're talking about officers of the court, and it's very clear, according to that district, this is going to be somewhat restrictive. This amendment is going to be restrictive to this bill and to the whole intent of the legislation. So I would speak against the amendment with regards to this bill. I'd be more than happy to look at, I've written it down a couple times here, 609.66, doing something with that, Mr. Chair, if that was possible. But with regards to this bill, I just don't think it. I think it's more restrictive, and I think we're losing sight of what we're trying to do here.
All right. Any further discussion on the amendment, Senator Ortman?
Charge out someone if they carry a gun in violation of the section. I don't think it really matters. matters. And I do think it's a good amendment because it shows that we are going to be consistent with the court's application of its authority to prohibit guns within certain areas.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Senator Ingebrigtsen, move.
No.
Harrington, I'm sorry.
We've gone far afield, but I do believe my amendment. So.
I'd like to offer my credit.
Senator.
No, I would not.
No, I'm good with this.
Senator Harrington moves the A2 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
No. Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, raise your hand. And those opposed, raise their hand. The vote was 5-5. The motion does not prevail. The bill is before us. Any further discussion? Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to speak for or against the bill? Would you please proceed or come to the table? I'm tired.
I'm Michael Gerster.
Would you identify yourself?
Yeah, Michael Gerster.
I mean, are you with an organization, sir, or are you a citizen?
One is just an ordinary citizen, plus right. I'm the legislative director with the Oakdale Gun Club. And I'm speaking in both of those areas. We support the bill. There's 1,500 members that I speak for. And the thing is that what I was hearing here was going to take away my rights. I've got more rights than these guys do over in Washington County. I can walk into the courthouse complex. And, again, part of this was going to take my rights away. I've notified the sheriff. The sheriff is well aware that I will carry in Washington County. And the thing is that this was going to take some of that, or could take some of that away, just because the judicial, one of the chief judge over in Washington County could say, you can't carry in the complex. And, you know, that bothers me when I start to lose my rights. But I'm concerned that the prosecutors have some rights here of self-defense. And it's been proven that currently they do not have the right of self-defense in the courthouse or any place. Because you can't okay, let me give you an example. I was in court about 2 weeks ago. It was not a small county. There was no metal detectors. And the hearing was on an order of protection. There was no sheriff around, and it was a county courthouse. And the thing is, we didn't see a sheriff until we were getting ready to leave, and it was a contentious situation. And the thing is that the prosecutors or the judges, you know, who knows whether they were carrying or not. But the thing is that I was concerned enough that I was carrying, and I let the sheriff know that I was going to be carrying. And we went in through the court, through the sheriff's entrance. And like I say, there was no, as a matter of fact, it was St. Croix County. And there is no metal detectors. There's no, you know, sheriff checking you out as you're coming in. And this is important. This bill is very important. And like I say, my organization will stand behind it.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion regarding the bill? Hearing none, Senator Ingebrigtsen renews his motion that Senate File 1829 as amended be recommended to pass and move to... Oh, it was not amended. I'm sorry. Where is this going, Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Directly to the floor.
Directly to the floor. Senator Ingebrigtsen renews his motion that House File number 1829 be recommended to pass and move directly to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion is adopted. There is no further business before the committee. The committee stands adjourned. No. I am tired. Intimate. That's all you think about.
Spin that beat.
Yeah.